Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're kicking off this week's daily editorials with an update from BlackRock Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol BRC and on the OTCQX under the symbol BKRRF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Andrew Pollard. Now, we're going to be focusing on this Tonopah West project in Nevada. The company acquired this project about a year and a half ago. There's been a lot of work done here, drilling and even some met work that was just released early on in the new year. But Andrew, I really want you to bring everybody up to speed here on this Tonopah West project and the drilling that the company has done, especially some of the results even at the tail end of last year. December 20th, the company came out with more drill results that were step-out holes. Bring everybody up to speed on what you know currently about the Tonopah West project and what the drills have shown you.
Yeah, well, thank you for this. It's good to be back here and happy new year to everyone. So it was about 2 years ago at this time that our chairman and head of exploration brought me this opportunity to review. I guess, you know, my input was that I was smart enough not to say no to him. So in, you know, this is when silver was probably the most backwater investment out there, trading around $13, $14 million and absolutely hated. And we were able to sign a deal on this. And it's the consolidation of one of the largest historic silver districts in all of North America, certainly one of the highest grade ones too. And it's in its second largest silver district in Nevada. And it's called the Tonopah Silver District. And it's been hiding in plain sight for about 90 years since production shut down right around the time of the Great Depression, when silver prices went from about a dollar an ounce down to 35 cents an ounce within the span of about 2, 3, 4 years. Since then, literally no work had been done on this project, and these are private claims, so they didn't been effectively sitting in different claims packages passed down generationally many, many years. We were able to tie them all together at once, and we picked them up in April of 2019. We laid out our first, I guess, drill program and our plans. We said we're going to go retarget and pick up right where the historic miners left off, and we told the market, one of our targets, the Victor target, that was the thickest vein in the district. Where they left off, the record said it was going to be 24 meters thick. We said we're targeting something 24 meters thick and a kilogram per ton silver equivalent. No one believed us. Fast forward to July of 2019, we hit on our first drill hole 29 meters of a kilogram per ton silver equivalent, in addition to two other veins that the historic miners didn't even know were there, both over a kilogram silver equivalent too. And that added about $100 million to our market cap overnight or within the span of about a week or two. And that really reignited this whole district. Since then, since June of 2020, we've become easily the most active silver exploration project in North America, probably top two or three globally. We've drilled 110,000 meters of drilling since then. We've done 80,000 meters just last year alone, and 50,000 of that was tying together mineralization through infill drilling. And we're going to have our maiden resource estimate on just one of our key target areas that we've now hit, called the DPB target area. And that's due really in the next month or two here. We're just waiting on the final 13 assays from drill holes we finished off with the infill program there. So yeah, what we've shown is, you know, from starting, it was a proof of concept style drill program. We're just testing to see if all the historic records were true. Did they really stop mining because metals prices tanked? And did the historic miners, you know, leave a lot of joy for us? And we've now hit 10 veins. If you lay those veins end to end, it's about 6 to 7 kilometers of mineralization. We've hit grades up to 5 kilos silver equivalent. And what's interesting about this district is, you know, it's not polymetallic. It's not, you know, lead, zinc, copper, gold, silver. This is just silver to gold, and it's 100-to-1 silver to gold ratio. So this makes it very, very unique within the world. And the best part is, we're not Mexico. We're not Peru. We're literally on private land in Nevada, halfway between Las Vegas and Reno. And we're drilling on two sides of a highway, walking distance to the town of Tonopah. So it really doesn't get much better than this.
Well, Andrew, thanks for that. And that really sets the table nicely. And yeah, you don't have a lot of cartel activity in Nevada to deal with. So that makes it nice for a jurisdiction standpoint, but also ease of permitting and the ability to move projects forward, good cost, good economics, and having that gold and silver focus without all the other base metals in it really makes it easier. And we'll get into the recoveries in a little bit. But just before we get into some of the more granular elements, from a high level, after doing all that drilling, after doing 110,000 meters and up to 80,000 last year, Where does that move the company as you're moving it into this resource for this year, 2022? You'd mentioned off mic about maybe getting underground and doing a little more drilling there, and that's usually more cost effective. There's some new targets the company has. So what will the focus for exploration be at Tonopah West for this year?
Well, we've got 13 infill holes at the lab, which we're expecting, this month. We've also got, I think, 12 step-out holes that were done with RC last year, and those are big step-outs, like 500-meter step-outs along these known veins, which if those come in, I mean, that could also blow the top off everything we're doing too. But in the, I guess, summer of this year, we actually went out and staked another 20 square kilometers directly adjacent to our Tonopah West project, and we call it Tonopah North. And we separated the two simply because the Tonopah West project is exclusively patented claims, private land. And the benefit of that is that we don't have to deal with the federal government on anything when it comes to permitting there. It's just state level and county level stuff. For our Tonopah North claims, those are BLM claims. So we're keeping those sort of two separate things. But based off of our, 100 years ago, when this was the center of the mining universe in America, they didn't do any drilling back then. They just mined these veins straight from surface and followed them along drifts and crosscuts. So our 110,000 meters of drilling makes us, the subject matter experts down there. But we've also got access to something the old timers didn't have too, and that's geophysics and all that sort of good stuff. And we've taken our interpretation of what's going on, what's controlling all the mineralization in Tonopah Silver District proper, and we've extrapolated that. And we think the Tonopah North property has two district scale potential targets that have a similar geophysical signature to them that the Tonopah Silver District does, and they follow the key major structures which we've now mapped out across those new claims. And if we're right, I mean, my goodness, one of the reasons why the historic miners would have missed this is because all these targets that we've uncovered up on these new claims is undercover. So we're actually drilling. We announced just last week that we've started a 9,000 meter Blue Sky Scout drilling campaign on these new claims. And we're testing two key targets up there, both of which we think have fairly high potential of hitting some mineralization. So we'll see. But that's while we're awaiting delivery of our maiden resource estimate, which is going to be coming down the pipe in Q1 here too. So we're going to backstop our valuation, hopefully get a re-rate in the next few months here on the back of these ounces we deliver at Tonopah West. And if we can make some new discoveries in the interim, yeah, that wouldn't be a bad start to 2022, I'd say.
No new discoveries, always welcome in any market. What about Tonopah West, though? You mentioned that a resource is coming, but look, what's going to be the follow-up work? Because you have already started doing some metallurgical test work. We got those results January 6th, last week. What is the next step then? To continue to grow, or is it to continue to de-risk Tonopah West?
Well, once we get the resource out there, this project becomes really, really straightforward to just, incrementally add value and sort of start stepping up, by a paint by numbers approach to, I guess, de-risking the project. The metallurgy is a huge thing because lots of companies are putting out some great drill results and they might be showing some, good ounce potential too. But it's not about ounces in the ground. It's about recoverable ounces in the ground. And our network is unusually high silver recoveries. I mean, this would put us in the top tier of silver projects, silver gold projects globally. I mean, we're averaging 95% gold recovery and 87% silver recovery. But, our key veins in our DPB resource area, our Merton vein and our Bermuda vein, those are the big kahunas for us. Those are where the bulk of the ounces are going to come from a, I guess, a volume weighted, tonnage aspect. And those recoveries are both over 90% gold and silver. So, we're going to be getting a lot of action from those. So in terms of advancing the project from here, yeah, we get the resource out there. We show that the metallurgy is good. We show the market, hopefully, that the juice is worth the squeeze for us to then look at going underground with an exploration decline next year. And that's where the rubber is going to hit the road for us, because we're going to design this exploration decline in a way that'll give us access to both our DPB resource area, but also our Victor target area. And our Victor target area is another vein corridor, which we've got multiple veins tracked up to about 500 meters of strike. And those average even higher grade and thicker veins than we have in a resource area. So, that's a huge, easy way for us to expand the resource. And we should be able to go from maiden resource to further met work to maybe even doing an updated resource estimate towards summer, because we've got all these step out holes at the lab too. And we're not taking our foot off the gas pedal with our step out drilling. And maybe even we'll look at putting some economics on the property too, because we think that with our grade, with our met recoveries, and with the size potential that we have, this is the makings of being a world-class project written all over it. And there is nothing like this in the market, and the silver of silver primary stories out there that can compete with this from a takeout perspective, because everyone else is putting out great results, but they're in Argentina or they're in Mexico or they're in Peru. And, you know, just ask Hochschild investors or Fortuna investors or First Majestic investors, if they want to double down in those areas, they probably say no. So we're sort of hoping to be the standout with what we deliver here.
Well, Andrew, I'm glad you brought that up about the potential of having a target on your back for a takeover because of the rarity of having this high of grade in a good jurisdiction with such good recovery rates. And while I know the retail market doesn't get too excited about metal recovery rates, it's incredibly important for engineering and to know how to process it and for a larger company to know, is this worth the candle? Is this going to be an economic mine? So could we just maybe dig in a little bit more to those recovery rates from that standpoint and how you see that helping tie into those economic studies when you do get those going maybe later next year or the year thereafter?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good point. And, you know, a company we often liken ourselves to, or at least, you know, hope to sort of follow their trajectory, but we're just a few years sort of behind them, would be Silvercrest Metals and their Las Chispas property down in Mexico. Very similar story. They consolidated a historic silver district. They drilled it to Swiss cheese. You know, soon, you know, about a year and a half after they got it, they put out a maiden resource estimate. They did their initial met work back then, too. Now, their maiden resource estimate, I think they delivered 63, 64 million ounces silver equivalent at 572 grams silver equivalent. And their met work on their initial test work was pretty much a mirror image to what we just put out, too. I think they put out 86% silver recoveries and 97, 98% gold. We put out 87% silver recoveries and 95% gold. We're targeting, you know, we think we've got a good chance for a maiden resource to exceed both in terms of size and grade what Silvercrest put out for their maiden resource back in 2018. If we do, I mean, you know, we're not in Mexico, as I said. Our ounces in the ground in Nevada, especially if we're able to put a higher grade to them than they were able to accomplish, should be worth more than anywhere else on the planet. And I guess I use them as an example because, you know, right now we're trading around $130 million market cap. They're over $1.3 billion. But it's, once again, they did the same paint-by-numbers approach to advancing the project that we are. Maiden resource, upgrade resource, maybe throw some economics on it. Keep de-risking, keep stepping out, keep drilling out new areas. And here they are today. I think they've got about 130 million ounces, you know, under their belt. And yeah, it's and they're nearing production. So that's a path I'm hoping to follow.
So then, Andrew, as we look ahead to this year in terms of cash in the bank, where does the company stand and approximately what is the budget to move through this resource and then the drilling that you are planning?
Yeah, so we did a $7 million financing, which we completed in November, which was led by First Majestic Silver. It was their second subsequent financing into us. And that $7 million, I don't think we've touched it up until this month. So that's funding our drill campaign, our Blue Sky drill campaign at Tonopah North, and that's going to fund everything we need to get us through, you know, spring and early summer, I'm guessing, while we let the resource come, be delivered, and bake in. And it'll give us, you know, a nice window of opportunity to figure out next steps from there. So yeah, we're in a really, really good position financially. We've got lots of Blue Sky and lots of, lots of pending assays at the lab right now that are going to be coming down the pipe in the short term. The biggest catalyst we've ever had to look forward to, which is our maiden resource coming out within the next month or two. And then from there, you know, winds at our back. I mean, I'd be surprised if there wasn't some activity from a corporate, you know, from an M&A perspective beyond that, just given how scarce high grade silver and gold ounces in the ground are outside of Latin and Central America. But if not, I mean, we're going to be putting in plans to advance the project and keep adding value.
Perfect. Andrew, thank you for the update. Sounds like it's going to be another busy year for the company, but you guys have already done quite a bit with this Tonopah West project. Again, that was brought into the company just a year and a half ago. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those addressed for you. Andrew, thanks again for the time. Keep us up to date on future news.
Much appreciated. You too. Cheers. Thanks.